confusion this morning over whether a peace centre to former Mays prison site is still on the table. The Ulster Unionist Party say that plans for the centre have been dropped, but the Executive Office have told today's papers that no decisions have been made. Let's speak to the Ulster Unionist MLA, Mike Nesbitt. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. So the Executive Office said no decisions have been made. You beg to differ, right?
Yeah, because I was at the Mays Longcash site on Wednesday. I had asked for a briefing because it's probably 3 years since the now defunct Committee of the Executive Office had a briefing. I was offered a site visit and I went down and met Brian Gregory, the Chief Executive of the Development Corporation, and Terence Branigan, the Chair. And Terence, during the course of the briefing, said that they had a revised strategy. And the main change from the original strategy is that the plan to build the so-called Peace-Building Conflict Resolution Centre has been dropped by this development corporation. I understand that there's no political buy-in to this strategy. In fact, I also understand from Terence Branigan that year on year, they send an annual business plan up to the Executive Office and they never get a response, which I find extraordinary, particularly since the politicians dropped out.
So there was this, there were these plans, and we all, mm-hmm. most of us will remember this, the row between Sinn Féin and the DUP over plans for the centre at the time. The redevelopment of the site has been put on ice for many, many years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're saying it's just being dropped, nothing's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, it must be incredibly frustrating for people like Terence Branigan and Brian Gregory, because it is very nearly 6 years since they got any ministerial direction or green light coming out of the Executive Office. It was August 2013 when Peter Robinson, as First Minister and DUP leader, sent that infamous so-called letter from America withdrawing their support for the Peace Centre at the Mays. Now, at that time, the Mays...
Your party didn't want the Peace Centre to Mays, Mike.
No, we wanted the Peace Centre. We were 100% for Peace Centre and 100% against locating it at the Mays, and that wasn't us coming up with that.
You didn't want the Peace Centre at the Mays.
Because we were listening to the victims and survivors of terrorism, not just Republican and Loyalist terrorism, and they wanted nothing to do with the Peace Centre at the Mays.
So you're welcoming this move then, if the plans have been dropped?
I think it is a positive development that the people on the board of this development corporation are saying, we can't deliver on this Peace Centre because there's no political agreement, but what we can do is deliver the biggest economic generator in current history. Because 3 years ago, 6 years ago, they were talking about creating 5,000 jobs and attracting $300 million of investment. They're now saying it's $800 million and 14,000 jobs. And to give it context, Steve, the Derry-Londonderry City deal, which you were reporting on earlier in the week, is 105 million. This is eight times as big, but it's not going to happen because of political failure. And so we have to get back into the Assembly and into the Executive. And in these talks, as you know, there are various strands and committees, and one is a programme for government one. And I will be taking the Mays Longcash Development Plan to that committee and saying, come on, folks, our programme for government says that the purpose of the programme is driving economic growth. Here is a plan for £800 million.
So what do you want to go there?
I want the agri-foods, the health and life sciences, the aerospace, and I can live with the idea they're talking now about tourism. They're talking about bringing down the Ulster Transport Museum from Cultraw. They're talking about getting the Harry Ferguson collection, which would be the tractors. They're also saying, and I'm nervous about this, that the listed and historic prison buildings become part of the tourist attraction of Mays Longcash. Well, that would have to be done incredibly sensitively and with no hint of the glorification of terrorism.
So you want no mention of the Mays at this site?
No, I didn't say that. What do you mean no mention of the Mays at the Mays?
You want no mention of the prison at the site?
No, I didn't say that, Steve.
So what are you prepared to tolerate at this site in terms of the prison of the prison?
Well, the history of the site goes way beyond the Troubles.
Yes, but in terms of the Troubles and the site...
Do you want me to answer this or not?
Yes.
Okay. I was in the remaining H block, H block 6, And I think there is certainly merit in young people going down those corridors and looking at those tiny, bare cells, because I can't think of any cause that would be worth going to prison, to a prison like that for. And if we're going to learn from the mistakes of the past to ensure we don't repeat history, then there is merit in opening up that H Block 6 to people. So I'm not saying we ignore, we try and airbrush out history, including the hunger strikes. But the hunger strikes aren't the whole story of Maze Longcash. And it just needs to be done sensitively and with no glorification of terrorism.
And how do you define sensitively? You know there will be disagreement over that. And glorification, how do you define that? You know there will be fundamental disagreement over that, Mike.
Well, for example, the prison hospital where the hunger strikers passed away still exists. The Maze Longcash Corporation will take people into that facility, but they will not tell them in which room, for example, Bobby Sands passed away. So that's what I mean by doing it sensitively. They're not going to deny...
Why wouldn't they tell them?
Because that potentially can lead to a glorification of what happened. What they're saying is it's entirely neutral. Yes, this is the prison hospital.
It would be it factual, wouldn't building. It? It wouldn't be glorification because it would be factual. This
well,
is where...
I support what they're doing, okay? I support what they're doing. And that's a judgment call.
Let's get reaction from the N2 leader, Petter Tobin. From what Mike has said, Petter, do you think that could be tolerable to the community you represent?
Well, first of all, I think Mike's right to a certain extent. There's a lot more to the Maze than just the hunger strikes. For example, obviously, the disaster of internment in 1971 played out in the Maze. Special category status, the policy of criminalisation, the blanket protest, of course, the hunger strikes itself. The largest prison breakout in Ireland and Britain happened there. And obviously, the prisoners themselves had a significant role in the peace process. So the act of freeing the prisoners there was a part of the peace process that we now enjoy. And the Maze prison held some 10,000 men, which is a phenomenal body of people given the size of the north of Ireland. So it is an iconic place, and it's a massive piece of the history of Ireland. So it's untenable not to reflect those aspects purely in historical and factual terms in the future, for future generations to come to. And, you know, it will be a useful part of telling the story of the north of Ireland to future generations. The fact that they can actually physically stand in the cells, stand on the halls and be in the hospital and that the history of the north played out just 35 years ago. So logically, it is important that we actually keep the site. I think the problem here is, and this is the problem at the heart of the peace process, is that there is a dichotomy of perspective with regards to what happened in the north of Ireland. Now, AIM2's view is that we need a pluralist society. We're never going to agree on exactly what was right and what was wrong on both sides of the community. But we're going to have to create a situation where both communities are able to interpret the past in their own way.
And when Mike Patter says that he wouldn't want it to be pointed out where Bobby Sands died, is that tolerable to you?
But that's illogical, because that's the same as having, you know, a tour of Robben Island where, you know, Nelson Mandela's cell is hidden from the knowledge of the people who are investigating or researching or touring the site. Factual information is no threat to anybody. Now, obviously, you know, how this is interpreted in the communication of the information to the people who visit that, I can imagine there will be differences of opinion between myself and Mike on that. But there's no reason that factual information with regards to what happens there should be censored in any fashion whatsoever. And I think one of the problems I have with this is it also encapsulates another problem with the process, in that this was all agreed. In 2010, the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister announced an agreement had been reached in the building of a peace and conflict resolution facility at the Maze prison. But what happens so often amongst unionism is unionists often look over their shoulder to see who else could be gaining upon them. They get fearful of who's coming after them, and as a result, then they withdraw from agreements that already have been signed up to. And you know, if we have a system where the parties of unionism won't fulfil what's already been agreed, it's going to be phenomenally difficult to be able to reach consensus.
Pater, have you mentioned loyalists in the Mays and their history?
Did you?
I haven't heard you mention them so far.
Mo Mullen went to the Mays prison and spoke to loyalist prisoners there who had at one stage decided to withdraw from the Good Friday Agreement negotiations. And through her discussions with them, they decided to back the Good Friday Agreement negotiations again, which again is part of that cumulative response to the peace that we enjoy. And Mike is right on one point. The Mays holds a massive key to the future development of the north of Ireland. And, you know, when we were going around the doors, we found that most people that we're talking to were furious that the bread and butter issues that are affecting people right across the north of Ireland, the 11,800 people who are registered as homeless, for example, are being forgotten about. And this is a massive site. This is the biggest site owned by the state, 347 acres owned by the state, £30 million already spent on the site, with precious little to show for anybody in the north of Ireland in terms of value for that money.
Mike?
Yeah, well, that's the point. Peter's got the point there. You're looking at £800 million of inward investment, not government money, but commercial money, 14,000 jobs being generated, and it's all being held up because of a political disagreement over building a peace centre on that site when we could all agree to build it somewhere else. I would just say to Peter, I cannot agree with your analysis about unionists looking over the shoulder. What we did was we listened to the victims of terrorism, both loyalist and Republican, and they said they would have nothing to do with a peace centre if it was on that very toxic site called Mays.
Can I ask you a question? And I think this goes to the heart of the issue here.
Let's let him finish, Pater, then you can ask a question,
okay,
of course.
Okay. We didn't just say no to the Mays. We said yes to the peace centre. I proposed we take back the old Crumlinwood Courthouse that developed the prison very well. I said, put it there. It's an area which saw more murders per square mile during the Troubles than anywhere else. It's got some of the worst pockets of deprivation, so it makes sense to go there. Other people said, put it at Titanic Quarter. So we were being as positive as we could about it, but also being realistic and reflecting the genuine concerns of victims of terrorism.
Look, see, I think the problem here is that in discussions and negotiations, it always becomes like a zero sum. So in other words, if something is given to one community, it's then looked on suspiciously by the other community. And my view in this is absolutely solid, that the only way that we can go forward on this is if we have a pluralist understanding of the past, and that we allow for unionists to understand the past through their experience, and that we allow for Republicans to understand the past through their experience.
But he said that he was from victims, Pater. They would have nothing to do with this.
But there are victims on both sides. And in fairness, and victims are not a homogenous group. There isn't a uniform view amongst victims with regards how we proceed in these regards. There will always be differences of opinions amongst victims themselves.
Well, look, let me see what we're saying at home about this morning. Mark and Newton Abbey. Morning, Mark.
How are you doing, Mike? Stephen. Stephen, I agree with what Mike's saying. Enough of that. I do respect Mike and what he's saying there, you know, but people want to flock to these places where people died during the Troubles. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you go down to Dublin, or even Crumlin Road Jail, or down to Kilmainham Jail, they will state what actually happened in the prison. But I don't only state that there. That's what it's actually famous for, that prison, you know, for that sort of death, or the uprising of people that were killed down there, you know. But they will explain, if anything else, what happened in the prison throughout 1,000 years before that. You know, people are saying that way. They want to go. I understand Mike saying that spoke to the victims, but I guarantee you, if they opened that centre up, they would get a lot of people come from both sides of the community want to see where this all happened. And it's teaching the history of the children too that grow up for it not to happen ever again. And I believe on the site, obviously, there should be a lot more things, but if people want that, well, they're... people will go, and you know, it'll start bringing them money to the company as well. So, well, you know, it makes sense to me. So it does. People will go and actually flock there and see what happened there, who died here. You know, people say no, but people will go. And I mean, not just for one side, for both sides of the community, so that people will be able to be healed in the future of what actually happened in the past in this country.
And Malachy, you know? Morning, Malachy.
How are you doing, Stephen? Listen, I would be a big fan of Mike Nesbitt, but I have to say, there's only two words to describe the location Mace said. It's intolerance and sectarianism, and it's built into unionism, and they just cannot get over the fact of what happened out in that state. And the economics, it was the same. On that state, there's supposed to be a big, massive football ground so that everybody could go and watch rugby, GAA, and soccer. And I mean, they didn't want that because the GAA was in there. And they ended up, as everybody knows, you know, the Kingspan got their money. The GAA thing in Anderson is still up a pole, and Windsor Park got their thing. So they didn't even want the big site built for the football stadium. But as far as the prison goes, I owned a restaurant in Belfast for years, so I reckon I'm in a better position to talk about it than them boys. And the amount of tourists that come in and ask me to get them tickets for your Game of Thrones and your taxi tours around Belfast, more people went on taxi tours up the falls and down the Shankill, and they're paying £35-40 a head to do these tours from ex-prisoners. Are you trying to tell me that if you had a prison built out on the Long Kay State where the hunger strikers died, regardless whether you loathe it, what they've done or you don't, as a financial and a tourist attraction, the Kilmainham Jail in Dublin, massive, it's booked months in advance. If you go to Poland and you want to see Auschwitz, they did not let people into Auschwitz because of what the Germans done. He's talking rubbish.
Mike, well, let Mike respond to that.
Well, I think the basic point, Stephen, is that I am not saying no to opening up the listed and historic prison buildings. As I say, I was in looking at them on Wednesday, and I can see merit, but there has to be a negotiation about how it is done. What I'm saying is the 800 million and the 14,000 jobs are not coming on stream because of a political disagreement about the peace building centre and where it is located. Is that worth it? When we can say we can put it on the Crumlin Road or Titanic Quarter, we can have the Peace Centre, but let's not make the argument about it not being at the Maze at the cost of 14,000 jobs and £800 million of commercial money coming into Northern Ireland to grow our economy, which, after all, is at the core of our draft programme for government.
Mike, thank you. Patter, thank you. The Executive Office have been in touch with us. They say any decision regarding the future development of the Maze Long Kesh site would be a matter for ministers. No decisions have been taken.